happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
He washed my sins away.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios, New York City. You can watch this by going to prn.fm or going to my Facebook page. And I want to thank the thousands upon thousands of people who have been downloading at night. Some watch it in the daytime live, but 99% at night. And so I appreciate you watching and sharing the information. After all, that's what this is about. If you find that something is reasonable, responsible, makes sense, can empower people, share it. Today, the latest on health and healing, including how something that many of you do every day, walking, but power walking, where you're really putting your energy into it, that can lead to a longer life. And a new study has just been completed on that. And also for those of you who want to enhance your brain, well, cacao, which is chocolate, can do that. But there's new science on that, and I'll share that. Plus a lot more on how we can use simple nutrients and herbs to effectuate a better immune response to disease. So we're about reversing and slowing down the aging process. And one of the studies I'm sharing with you today confirms what I've said for a long time. Your two ages. Your biological age, the age of your cells, your DNA, and a chronological age. And we get caught up on just the chronological age. Understandably so, since most people don't see anything improve as they get older, especially after the age of 40. But this study shows that you could be half your chronological age biologically. So if you're 80, you could be 40. If you're 70, you could be 35, if you've lived the right life. Now, where this is important is I know that many of you would like to be younger. But what's stopping you from actualizing all the information you get on this program or in books or from the people in your own life who motivate you? We're going to talk about that as well. But that's only half our show. And the second half of our show today will be an interesting insight into fake news. I'm going to give you some fake news from several publications. I'm going to show you how they choose not to look for the truth, even when it's presented to them on a silver platter. I'm talking about every one of the major media in America. Can I prove my case? You bet. In fact, we're going to show you that in one whole area, there is nothing but fake news, where no one will challenge the orthodoxy at all, even though we'll prove today that the orthodoxy is wrong. Will I share my opinion and insights? Not at all. I'll share their science to show you everything they've been telling you about vaccines is a lie. So if they say, well, that's not true, yeah, I'm using your studies from your peer-reviewed journal, from your PubMed, on the lack of efficacy and safety in vaccines. So you figure that out. Joining me today is Bonnie Faulkner. Bonnie is one of the most respected journalists in the United States. She has a program on Pacifica Stations, and she has a program on Progressive Radio Network. We're going to talk about fake news at Pacifica. In fact, just so you understand, in all of my years in radio, I've had as many years on commercial radio as I have on non-commercial. I've been on our sister station, WBAI, for 41 years. Wonderful audience. I couldn't ask for better human beings to share insights and information with than my audience on WBAI. But when I was on ABC for 12 years and WR and WVD for 14 years, never once, not once in 35 years did any person walk in program director and say, Gary, you can't talk about that. That's too controversial. That's too radical. That might impact our sponsors. No. But how many times have I been censored on Pacifica? You could not imagine. And at what cost to the station? I'll get into that. But we're going to focus on one station. The station that is, in my personal opinion, has nothing to do with freedom. And that is KPFA in Berkeley. And how they've engaged in censorship of Bonnie Faulkner and myself. And what that might mean to the audience that could have benefited from what we were going to talk about that could have prevented a law on vaccines, mandatory vaccines, from taking hold. So that's our show. We have a lot to share. Let's begin. Now, yesterday in Center Park, we led a group of people around the park. Those of us who are more experienced runners, we go out earlier and do our run, speed work, and then we stop and we pick up the people who are learning some for the first time, which is terrific, and others, older, more experienced athletes. Some have been in our running club earlier and come back to get back in shape, and it's a lot of fun, a lot of positive energy. And what we do when we're with those people is we do power walking. We show you body form and how to stretch those leg out, heel, toe, you know, leaning slightly 4 to 5 degrees, opening your mouth, keeping your mouth open, relaxing your shoulders, bring your hands at right angles and your arms back and forth, just like on a train where you see the pistons causing the wheels to turn. And that's what we tell them to visualize, taking a hanky out of the back pocket, put it in the front pocket, breathing deeply, diaphragmatically. People lose weight, their muscles get stronger, their resting heart rate might be 80, 75 when they start. 3 months later, it's down around 60. That just added, if they keep that up, it could add up to 10 years onto their lifespan of their heart. How the stress-relieving hormones, the endorphins, are secreted when you're power walking, and how it gives you a really good, wonderful, natural high. And if you do that twice a day, you're having positive hormones about 12 hours a day. So we've taught a lot of people power walking. This is the latest study. It's from Alternet, J. Wall Jasper, and it says, the surprising positive power of walking. Here's what he says. Many things leap to mind when someone mentions walking. Fitness, fun, fresh air, relaxation, friends, maybe your most comfortable pair of shoes, but a word that rarely arises is power. That will begin to change after the 1917 National Walking Summit, held in St. Paul, Minnesota in September, which is themed Vital and Vibrant Communities, the Power of Walkability. Like earlier summits, this event brings together people of all backgrounds to strategize ways of making sure the advantage of walking can be shared by all, no matter what their income or where they live. Walking advocates once focused primarily on physical health, spurred by mounting evidence that physical activity is key to preventing disease, but now are stepping up to promote social, economic, and community health. Then it goes into not just how it helps your body, but also walking advances social justice, things you wouldn't maybe think of. For example, quote, the health benefits of walking are so overwhelming that to deny access to that is a violation of fundamental human rights, declared sociologist Robert Bullard, founder of the environmental justice movement. And he said all communities should have a right to be safe, sustainable, healthy, just, and walkable community. Unfortunately, that's not always the case across America. People walking in lower-income neighborhoods are twice as likely to be killed by traffic than those in more affluent ones. African Americans on foot are 60% more likely to be killed by cars than whites, while Latinos are 43% more likely to be killed. Quote, if you have walkable communities, kids will do better at school, seniors will be healthier. And so that's from Ron Sims, a neighborhood activist from the African American community up in Seattle. Then it talks about walking expands economic opportunities. Walking connects people and strengthens communities. And you're more productive and thriving in communities that walk, artistic and innovation communities, safe, well-designed communities. So what they're doing, they're looking at walking as one theme that everyone can do. And now they're doing it in a way that connects all the communities of America, where we make communities safer. We historically, if you're going to walk, if you're an older person, you went to a mall. Okay, that's good. They open early for people to walk around the malls. I certainly support that. In fact, I not only support it, I helped sponsor a race in a mall up in Connecticut to encourage people to get out and walk. So I'm all for that. And I'm going to have someone there talking about walking from different perspectives, and especially with post-traumatic stress disorder. I've been working with some vets who have post-traumatic stress disorder, and the two things I find really calm a vet down that help them, get them out in power walking, not just social walking, not just cat, but really walking, where they're breathing, they're exercising, because instead of having the stress hormones that are caused to be elevated with any form of post-traumatic stress, you're getting endorphins. So instead of having stress hormones elevated, you have good, positive, feel-good hormones elevated. But then get them a companion pet. Get them some creature, some sentient creature to love. A cat, a dog, a bird. In the country, a horse, a cow. And boy, does that make a difference. In fact, near where I live, there's a wolf sanctuary. And these are not tame wolves. These are wild wolves. And yet, wolves have this intuition to know that there's a person that is suffering from stress, and there's some wolf conservation areas where people who have been trained to work with those wolves have vets go, and it's amazing to watch this. I'm going to post the video so you see this. A vet will go in, never been there before, doesn't know anyone, and a wolf will go over. The wolf will select that person and then bond with it. I mean, they're hugging him and kissing the vet, and it's just wonderful to see this, and the vet now looks forward to it. In prisons, to have prisoners that have kittens or dogs they can take care of gets them in a completely different mindset. Isn't it amazing? We keep confusing the complexity of a problem with the simplicity of its solution. So more on that as it happens, and we'll be contributing all that we know, including I'm going to be giving 2,000 or 3,000 documentaries on walking for good health to everyone who attends that seminar, just as a gift, just to share what we know benefits them. And everything else, I'll be inviting the best people I find there on the program. Now, from our brain, we really want to help our brain. And a lot of people have brains that have been damaged. Alcohol, smoking, meat, drugs, they all damage the brain. They destroy neurons. This is from the University of L'Aquila in Italy. Flavonoid-rich chocolate is well known for its beneficial effects on the brain, but a review by the Italian researchers point towards its neuroprotective effect in vulnerable populations over time. And what this goes on to show is that as you begin to age, the structure of the brain begins to change. And the flavanols, which are rich in polyphenols and antioxidants, go into the brain and actually are able to help in the healing of neurons and repair of neurons. So you literally can have a younger, healthier brain by having chocolate. Also, researchers from Shahid University show that they finally found where peptides and proteins, including ellagic acid, ameliorates learning and memory problems. Now, in lay language, it simply says that when you're having green tea and eating grapes or drinking grape juice or grape concentrate or grape powders, when you're having blueberries, you are flooding the body, especially the brain, with healing chemicals. These are the emergency doctors. On Saturday, we had our first introductory workshop for a new health support group. And I asked, how many people in here have problems with memory? And all the hands went up. And so I thought, well, that's a lot of people. That's a high percentage, like 70% of the room. Well, how many people have A, the sugars, processed sugars, and B, the animal fats, like rich in arachidonic acid, like from beef and barbecued ribs, and or how many have blueberries and blackberries and raspberries and strawberries and papaya? And boy, there was a huge difference. Most had had an unhealthy diet, and that's why they had arthritis, diabetes, and heart disease, more overweight. Fine, that's the beginning of the journey. But then when I was explaining how powerful the anti-inflammatory properties are, just visualize this. Visualize that you have a fire in one of the rooms of your home. And you have a choice. Throw alcohol in the fire. That's your dairy, meat, chicken, fish, alcohol, sugar, artificial sweeteners and caffeine. Or put water on the fire, which would be blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, strawberries, watermelon, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, juices, chlorophyll, chlorella, spirulina, lemon juice, ginger. One puts the flame out, the other keeps the flame going. It's relatively simple. So now, new research shows that by eating more of these allergic-rich foods that I just mentioned, your brain can maintain its memory longer and your cognition more clearly. Also, from the LA Biomed Research Center, they found how acupuncture works, and it's not how people thought. It's not about the energy that historically we all believe that an acupuncture pressure, meaning you put your thumb on a particular meridian on the body and you hold it in there, or you put a needle in and you turn it, vibrate it. It's really about, they found, it elevates nitric oxide. Hold on. Same nitric oxide that beet juice gives us? Yes. That thins the blood, which prevents stroke? Yeah. And that increases blood flow, that helps people with peripheral artery disease and intermittent claudication and cramps and pains in the calves and the legs? Yeah. Same thing. So, I'm happy to say that that reduces pain. Because when you're taking in, if you get some pain and you take a glass of beet juice, 8 ounces, small amount, you can help with that. So it's new information, brand new. Also from the University of Amsterdam, a new study shows that post-traumatic stress disorder in children quickly and effectively treated within hours, and it goes, and this is not with meds, and it goes into the clinical application and how they are dealing with this in ways that make a difference. Do you know one of the best ways of dealing with this? Probiotics. Probiotics. And what is it about post-traumatic stress or ADHD and, let's say, the Mediterranean diet? A proper way of dealing with it is you understand, don't focus upon the symptoms. Acute agitation, sometimes psychotic behavior, acting out, or repetitive actions, emotions. Instead, realize the body has two brains, one in your skull, one in your gut. The one in the gut is actually where you create about 65% of serotonin, but almost 100% of dopamine. We always thought it's only created in the brain. Wrong. And what allows the gut to have the probiotic activity renewed, healthy, brand new bacteria, is the intention by which you're doing it and the quality of the probiotics we're putting in there. And that suddenly changes the energy, the vibration of the bacteria, and then they begin to communicate with the probiotics in the brain. So now we got the brain in the gut and in the crane, in the cranial area, communicating positively, and you can turn off the symptoms. So when you see the results that I've seen with over 1,000 children diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, and autism improve or reverse completely, the very first thing in the therapy is change the milieu in the gut. Now, we also know that if you have negative emotions or epigenetic, epa, larger over, environment, meaning everything in my environment, not just now, clear back to my parents and even grandparents that might have gone on. Even conversations are still tied into the DNA and the memory of the DNA, and that's an energy. So the energy carries the memory, and that goes into that developing fetus, goes into the young child, then all the exposures, exogenous exposures from parents and grandparents. And then one day you wake up and you got chronic constipation. You can't figure it out. You got Crohn's disease. You can't figure it out. You have to have an enema to have a normal bowel movement. You can't figure it out. Why? No different than frequently having an orgasm. You should be able to and you can't, unless it's forced. Why? No one ever thought, look at the bacteria. Have you flooded your body with healthy and healing bacteria, the good probiotics? Well, the new research shows from, for example, Tel Aviv Medical Center, the latest I'm holding in my hand, quote, the benefits of a Mediterranean diet are well known when it comes to colorectal protection, but it's hard to know specifically what elements in the diet are the healthiest. Now, a new study presented today at the World Congress on Gastroenterological Cancer, intestinal cancer, suggests loading up on fish and fruit and cutting out the soft drinks. And so they're finding the fruits are the most important. Quote, we found that each one of these choices was associated with a little more than 30% reduced odds of a person having advanced or precancerous colorectal lesions compared to the other group. And they also reduced some other conditions by 86%. So let me just put this in perspective so it's understandable. And by the way, I'll tie one more study in with it. UCLA, this new study, research suggests association between gut bacteria and emotions. Researchers have identified gut microbes that interact with brain regions associated with mood and behavior. This may be the first time that behavioral and neurological, neurobiological differences associated with microbiotic composition in healthy humans have been identified. Brain-gut microbiota interactions may play an important role in human health and behavior. This new research shows this. Anyhow, it goes on. So let's put all this together. What do we know now that we didn't at the beginning of this program? We know that multiple studies by multiple groups around the world have found that the quality of your diet, the sugar, the pizza, the hot dogs, the french fries, the meat, the sodas, the coffee, can give you negative bacteria. The negative bacteria, toxic bacteria, proliferates, sends messages to the brain, creating negative emotions. The negative emotions are then going to try to find something to respond to, and so they'll go into those hundreds of billions of encoded neurons and find something that they can say, I blame you. It's your fault. You're the one. I'm a victim because of whatever. And try to change that person's mind. They're intractable. And then they become delusional that somehow events are what they perceive them to be. And they're never going to look. Never will they think. Maybe it's the quality of your diet creating the wrong energy and the wrong bacteria. Bad energy, bad bacteria, bad emotions, overreaction, negative consequences. Bad bacteria from a separate study, unhealthy bacteria in the intestine, colorectal cancer, colitis, Crohn's disease, and constipation. Clean up your diet, change your diet, healthy bacteria, healthy emotions, healthy bacteria, healthy digestive tract, and now they're saying it's in the fruits mainly. Well, gee whiz, how many of you have been taking your fruits, either ideally eating them locally in season organically, great, juicing them, terrific, or taking some form of compounding powders so you're making sure you're getting your fruits every day in your diet. No matter how you get them in, because now we know we have the hard science. It's helping us. Three separate studies, even helping people with post-traumatic stress disorder and kids with autism because you're changing the bacteria. Just remember, orthodox medicine says you cannot change the outcome of autism. You can only slow down or control through psychiatric drugs with terrible side effects. They make a kid like a zombie. But no one's ever been helped with autism with orthodox medicine, and they're absolutely right. I do not challenge them. They're 100% accurate. They've never been able to help anyone. And then let's go 6 years ago to Washington, D.C., where a young man with his parents, both retired New York City police officers, the Ortegas, walked out onto a stage where I was one of the visiting scientists giving a paper. Thousands of scientists in the room from all over the world, all the major institutions, universities. And this young man no longer could be diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. Completely normal. By the way, he's top of his class in college now. A normal college. Everybody was stunned by this. By the way, I also brought someone out with advanced Alzheimer's who was normal and a person with who had reverse hepatitis and three life-threatening conditions. But the point was, they are right. They cannot help a person. We're right. We have. So we're both right. There's just a different outcome for them. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest in health and healing. Oh, by the way, it's not alone. Neurologist and gut specialist, medical doctor, claims that mainstream doctors don't want you to know about what to do by healing your gut. My goodness, there's another one here. Cleveland Clinic's Lerner Research Institute, altering your gut bacteria pathways may stimulate fat tissue to prevent obesity. And it just goes on and on and on. This is the one place that you're going to get the latest quality information on how to live a longer and healthier life every day. If you miss a show, go to the archives. If you're not able to be around a terrestrial land-based station or by an internet, you can always pick up a phone or any portable listening device and call a number. I'll give you the number and listen to this program Monday to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at noon Eastern Time, 712-775-6850. 712-775-6850. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Who are watching or listening, you can watch this program by going to my Gary Knoll Facebook, or you can watch it by going to prn.fm, PRN, that's Progressive Radio Network.fm, to watch it. But you can listen to it anywhere, or you can archive it. Now, over the weekend, a wonderful group of people met to start a journey of health and healing. But I saw that it was just so hot in the church. They didn't have air conditioning or fans. So to make it easier for people to attend, and also I can't tell you how many people wanted to attend, but they live outside the metro New York area. So here's what we're going to do. As of this Saturday, and for the remaining, for 4 weeks on Saturday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to do this not in a church, as I would normally do, but rather as a webinar. I'll be doing at least a two-hour lecture, answering your questions, and then showing you an original documentary on here are the areas we're going after. Heart disease in every aspect, from stroke to congestive heart failure to atherosclerosis, arthritis, diabetes, pre or actual diabetes, neuropathies, and being overweight. If any of those four issues are impacting you, then not today, because I don't have my reception today. They're taking a holiday, but you can call tomorrow, 646-926-5422. Actually, you can't call tomorrow. We can get, maybe call that number today. Maybe someone will pick up. I think we do have someone picking up the phone. Anyhow, but at least you'll be able to get there. And there's another way to get there also. Just go to GaryNall.com and you'll see where it says webinar. All right, there are going to be four. That's it. No more of these for the next 12 months. So if you got heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, or you're overweight, they can give you all the insights, all the information. Would it be better if you were in an environment where I could work with you every day? Yes. But for most people, that's not possible. So this is the next best thing, and I'm sure we're going to make some major improvements to people's health. So just go to GaryNall.com. Now, we have my guest on the phone now. She is Bonnie Faulkner. We're going to go over and say hello to Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie. Nice to have you with us today.
Hi, Gary. It's wonderful to be on with you. And my first question to you is, can I take that webinar, the webinar that you just announced?
Yes, you can.
Wonderful. That sounds great, Gary.
And I don't limit the time that I'm on. My last webinar, which was Reversing Brain Aging Naturally, was 3.5 hours long. So I answer people's questions. I want people to know that they can ask questions. I start to film after my discussion so that people can get their questions in. And, you know, Bonnie, when you're in the field of helping people with better, healthier choices, there's always going to be that person who can't get there. And because our program is heard all over the world, now we have people in France and India, in Maui, who can call in, you know, or go on their computer, get in, and I can address their issues as well, because health issues are universal. Heart disease is the number one killer worldwide. And so anything that we can do to share to help people suffering, that's the goal. Let me tell people about you, Bonnie. Bonnie is an independent radio journalist whose regular program, Guns and Butter, has been an inspiration to many. The program investigates the relationship between capitalism, militarism, and politics in the aftermath of 9/11 attacks. It's aired weekly on Pacifica stations, WBI and KPFA in Berkeley, and can be heard on the Progressive Radio Network every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Her website is gunsandbutter.org. And Bonnie, today's program is based upon the idea that fake news is at least being called out today in ways that it has not been historically. But before we get into the specifics of what our relationship was, where we were both censored, in effect, we were not allowed to engage in any freedom of speech on a network that prides itself on bragging, hypocritically so for anyone who's been associated with it, that, oh, we're the only place to promote freedom of speech. And this had to do with the vaccine issue. And I'm going to read your letter in a moment, and then I'll turn it over to you to discuss this. I want to give people a little background in this to show you my participation and how Bonnie was told, and why she was told, that she would not be allowed to go on the air with me to talk about vaccine safety in California at a time when there was a vote, and had we been given that forum, especially in Northern California, where the signal is strong, there's an entire possibility that we wouldn't have been able to encourage the audience, especially the parents, to know, here's what you're not being told by the mainstream media, including KPFA, on the subject of vaccine safety and efficacy. And to give a little background on that, we were told on a Thursday that there was going to be a bill passed in New York State Assembly the next day that would mandate four vaccines, and all four containing mercury, hence 100 micrograms. That's a huge amount of mercury going into every healthcare worker in New York State. If you were an orderly, a dietitian, a medical doctor, a nurse, anyone in a hospital, you walked in that hospital, you had to have these vaccines. So when I found out about it, I went on the air that day and I asked the audience, let us protest this. Now, from Thursday until Friday, we didn't know how many people would show up, but we got some buses, we got vans, we had a whole caravan. And the next day, 1,300 of the listeners from this radio show showed up. And what was important was not that we showed up. In and of itself, they could care less. And we knew that. And we had one of the artists in the audience, Elaine Ryan, make up beautiful placards that made sense. We could tell who the provocateurs were because their placards were all incendiary and would have caused attention themselves. And you have to know that in every single moment, you got people wanting to disrupt it, to draw attention to the absurd so that the media focuses on the absurd, not your real message. But what we did overnight, and there was a whole group in my office, we got together every study from the scientific peer review literature that could not be disputed for its authenticity, and we made up a 112 study and put it on a disc and a hard copy, and I had a group of people dress up in suits and ties and dresses, men and women, seven of them. They went into the Capitol building that morning. They went to every single legislator's office and handed them a copy of both the disc of those studies showing the lack of safety and efficacy. And we were just focused upon the mercury that was in the vaccine. So everyone got that. Then when we challenged on the steps of the Capitol, and Bloomberg was there and Fox was there and a few others were there, and we called them out. In New York City, you have a commissioner of health. Why is the commissioner of health is not aware of the danger of vaccines? And now all the people in those hospitals, hundreds of thousands of people, are going to be victimized. They're going to end up with neurological damage. So they then were forced to have a meeting with us. So I went in representing the science. Michael Schachter went in representing medicine. And the two of us met with the top three medical doctors representing the state of New York. And we gave them the evidence and answered every one of their questions. They could not give us a question we could not answer. They threw every roadblock and we just smashed through them. Politely, calmly, methodically. Because of that, they postponed it. Then they went ahead and did what they should have done, held hearings in New York City. I was the first one in the morning. And the rule with these hearings, public hearings, is how you sign up. They then stack those cards, and that's who should be first, second, third, fourth. So I was the first one there. And 8 o'clock in the morning, and I signed up. They brought me at 8 o'clock at night. They had me sit there 12 hours after the media had left, after everyone else had testified. And I was the last one. And thank goodness there was a physician. I never met the guy. And I didn't even see him. But he filmed me going up there. And you talk about excoriating. I was in no mood, based upon the corrupt politics and the septic system of New York State, to sit there and allow these doctors to try to tell me what I know and they don't. So you got to watch it because, man, I gave him a dressing down on facts. Every fact about the corruption of vaccines you can mention. And I went on for 22 minutes, and then I said, I'm happy to take your question. They had no questions. And so that was it. So we won. The people won. The residents of New York State won. But here's the irony, and you will not, I'm sure, not appreciate this. Guess who didn't show up in Albany to protest? Not a single medical doctor. Not one. we the people were there to protect their interests and their health. If only they had appreciated how dangerous the vaccines were. So little wonder that so many doctors are willing to go ahead and tell people, yeah, vaccines are safe and effective. Anyhow, that is partly the background to show you what could have happened in California. That's why I mentioned this. We could have brought the same research. We could have had the same rally. I'd have flown out there. We could have had demonstrations handing out to the media all the studies about what's wrong with the vaccines that they were mandating, because we have a whole reference on every one of their mandated vaccines. But they chose instead not to allow me on. And finally, here's why they didn't want me on. Because 35 years ago, a tiny group of people, two people who had no background in nutrition or alternative medicine, took it upon themselves to call themselves the Quackbusters, and they began to attack everyone in the field of health who was into natural, organic homeopathy. And they got away with it, and the mainstream media began to use them as credible sources. And they would sue people for fraud and win by nuisance suits. And the pharmaceutical company fully supported all their efforts until I told people, sue them. They've slandered you. And they were sued and lost. Not only did they get shown to be the Quackbusters were quacks, but they were scientifically had no credibility. In fact, it was proven in the California Superior Court, where the person was shown that he had no credibility, had no expertise in this area. He just had his opinion, nothing more. Well, did that get in the New York Times? Did anyone retract everything that they posted? Because then they took that information and put it on Wikipedia. And my opinion is, because we're suing Wikipedia, by the way, and people in the audience who've been thinking Wikipedia is credible, watch my lawsuit. Watch all those other doctors and people who are going to be suing in this class action suit. Watch what we find out during our discovery about who's really behind Wikipedia. Who's behind Wikipedia? If you think Wikipedia is an objective source of information, you're about to get a hard lesson in reality. But anyhow, they took the Quackbuster stuff, put it up there, and then they used that as the reason, oh, you don't want to have Gary on. Not once does anyone ever call you and say, I have a question. I saw something bad about you. I'd like your opinion. They don't do that. Instead, they say, oh, we can't touch you. That was the rationale that they gave for not allowing us on. And of course, all that's nonsense. And to prove it's nonsense, today you're going to see on Facebook, you're going to see on PRN, all the documentation, the photographs of my press conference that you can see on AIDS is not a death sentence, where all the people from all over the United States came who had been cured or improved of AIDS with their medical doctors and records. We were there to present it to the entire medical community. Not a single member of the media showed up. Not a single member of any of the AIDS organizations. Right there. See that? AIDS is not a death sentence. That there I'm the presenter. That's a whole group, including David Patterson, all the scientists who were there. Look at the room filled with doctors and patients, but not a single member of the media. So we were there to show them that AIDS is not a death sentence, but it was natural, non-toxic approaches. See that gentleman on the right? He's one of the people, long-term survivors. So when they say, oh, you deny something, well, I'm not denying anything. I've got the proof there. And then there's all the PBS specials, too, with people and myself who I had cured. Say cured, C-U-R-E-D. They have never cured a person. I treated 1,200 with my medical team at the Tri-State Healing Center. There's a church picture you're seeing right now. I spent about $20,000 to present this. I flew in scientists from Japan and from China, from around the world, brought the leading scientist on immune building to show specifically 1,700 people attended that day, including many gays. This is how you treat AIDS naturally. And people got up that I introduced who are long-term survivors. They say that didn't exist. There's the pictures of it. Here's Tony Brown's journal on PBS. 8 times I was on there where people were cured. There's the existence. Here are the articles on treating AIDS naturally. There's the textbook I wrote on AIDS with Professor Jim Feast. There's the award-winning documentaries. So if you didn't see what I'm showing you now, you wouldn't know. You would believe Wikipedia. Well, that's the problem. Over to you to show the people that that's the reason they refused. That was the justification they gave for not allowing you to do an interview with me so we could help the people on vaccines. The forum is yours, Bonnie.
Well, Gary, I would love to do an interview with you on your lawsuit against Wikipedia. Pardon me. That sounds really very interesting. So back when we were censored was on a fund drive on KPFA, and this was 2 years ago. We were going to do a fund drive on KPFA on May 6th of 2015, Gary, and we were going to offer two of your films. They would have been blockbuster pledge items. We could have raised a lot of money for the station, and if we had gotten your films out to the listeners of KPFA, I'm sure it would have made a big difference. At that time, I had decided to produce a program on the subject of vaccination because public hearings were being held in the California legislature on a very controversial and draconian California Senate bill, SB 277, which is now infamous, and it did pass, that would eliminate personal choice and religious exemptions to vaccination for all school children, kindergarten through 12th grades. The public demonstrations in Sacramento against the proposed vaccine law were the largest in decades. It was a really controversial topic, and it was very much in the news. So I planned this fundraiser for you on May 6th, 2015, and it was only, that was a good 2 months before the legislature passed the law. Anyway, the way that the station program manager at KPFA got wind of what I was going to do is because the premiums have to be registered with the station the day before. And I got a call. You and I were going to go on live, Gary, and offer your two programs, your two films, I mean, on vaccination. And the very day we were going to go on live, I was getting ready to leave for the station, I got a call from Laura Privis, who was a program man, the program director at KPFA, and she had seen the registration of the of your premiums, and she informed me that your premiums would not be allowed to be offered on KPFA. And when I told her that you and I were going to do a show, she said she hadn't realized that I was going to have you actually have you on, and that you were not allowed on KPFA airwaves. I think she referred to you as a quack. That's what my memory, that's what I remember.
She did.
Yeah, yeah.
She and will be in court. She and Pacifica are going to be in court defending that. And I don't sue people till I know I can win, and all my lawyers, and I have on-staff lawyers who have been working on this. So big surprise for Pacifica, massive lawsuit coming at you.
Great. I think that she
And
also
I will not settle my lawsuit. I'm taking him right through to the end. I will not settle it.
I think she also made this claim about your views on the acquired immune deficiency syndrome, and I think you've already covered that.
I dealt with that, yes.
Yeah, and I told her that at the time that Jim Bennett, a former and very long-term general manager at KPFA, had always told me that the content of my program was my call, and she sounded sort of surprised at this. Then when I refused to cancel you, Gary, she said that she was preempting my show. I then appealed to the new station general manager, Quincy McCoy, and he refused to overrule her. And my program at that time, Gary, had been on the air for 14 years, and I'd never been censored before. This caught me totally off guard. I was completely dumbfounded. And I said to the general manager when I had him on the phone, I said, well, is there any point in me driving down to the station? I'm 50 miles from the station, by the way. I said, is there any point in my coming in today and trying to get my show with Gary on the air? And he said, no, don't bother to come in. So that was the end of that. But as I mentioned before, we were going to go on air almost a full 2 months before this vaccine law was signed into law. So it would have made a huge difference. And actually, Gary, the person that first suggested to me that I do this show with you on vaccination was my co-producer, Tony Rango, who has children, so he's very, very up to date on all of the vaccine laws. And one of the terrible fallouts from this law is that my co-producer has had to move his family to another state in order to protect his own daughter, who was about to go into the seventh grade. And there are two gates in this new law, kindergarten and seventh grade. So even if you're already in school when they pass this law about having to have multiple vaccines, vaccine injections for 10 different diseases, I also believe that it includes flu shots. Tony was informed that in order to get his daughter into the seventh grade, she'd have to submit to 10 more vaccinations. So he had to move his entire family out of state. Luckily for him, he was able to do it. But, you know, Gary, most families can't do that.
Bonnie, let me share a few things that I would have shared with the KPF audience and everyone else in that area. First, knowing that you were wanting me to do this, we spent 4 weeks investigating the financial connections between each of the legislators sponsoring the legislation, including the key sponsor, Dr. Pam, and the vaccine industry and the pharmaceutical industry. We had absolute black and white. So to show that these people received this amount of money and voted on it, Democrats and Republicans, irrespective, we have done that. No one else had done that. I then went to each of the vaccines that they were mandating to show the actual science. Here's what I could have shared with them, but I will share with you now. First, the myth on aluminum as an adjuvant, they're saying it's safe. Here's the actual science. I only use PubMed, and I found, and just from 2008 till now, and I have right here in my office 75 scientific papers, but there are 400 just on aluminum as a neurotoxicity agent itself. Example, the Journal of Brain Research, aluminum inflicts strong neurotoxicology on primary neurons. The Journal of Pharmacological Toxicology, aluminum-laced vaccines increase aluminum levels in the murine brain tissue, leading to neurotoxicity. The Journal of Biological Trace Elements Research, aluminum hydroxide deposits mostly in the kidney, liver, and brain. The Brain Journal, the most respected journal in the world for its type, long-term exposure to vaccine-derived aluminum hydroxide results in macrophage lesions. Now, as far as their vaccines have nothing to do with autism, remember they keep arguing that? Here's the actual studies. And I'll just cite a few. Stony Brook University Medical Center, toxicological and environmental chemistry, hepatitis B vaccine given to newborn boys tripled the risk of developing autism compared to boys who were not vaccinated. Study. And the Annals of Epidemiology, autism may likely be triggered by a virus and measles, either wild or as viral components of the mRNA vaccine, and is a good candidate for causation. And autism has been associated with a mitochondrial and oxidative stress condition. The Journal of Toxicology, 2012, thimerosal, that's mercury, derived ethyl mercury, is a mitochondrial toxin in human astrocytes, a possible role in phantom chemistry in the oxidation and breakdown of the DNA, and that's in the brain. Then the myth that there are good studies comparing vaccinated, because that's what they kept going up and down the state saying. We have good studies. And these other people, these parents and these doctors, they're all nut jobs, quacks, right? All up on Wikipedia, too. Well, here's the reality. The single study, I would have proven this. I would have sought out the leading pro-vaccine people, and I'd asked them to challenge me on this. The single study cited by the pro-vaccine community and Paul Offit seemed to show efficacy, to the untrained eye. But the actual British researcher who did the study in a poor country in Africa found that the combination of pertussis and measles, which you're getting in California, given together, increased the death among young girls. Also, another study, Hong Kong study, compared vaccinated versus unvaccinated for the flu vaccine you're getting in California, followed participants for a full year. The vaccinated had a 600% increased chance of respiratory infections from non-flu viruses through the course of the year. And also contracting the wild flu became higher in those who were vaccinated. And on its efficacy, they found that in 2014, with large cases of California pertussis outbreak, the Kaiser Permanente study in San Diego on 621 cases of whooping cough, 85% of those people had been fully vaccinated. So therefore, the vaccines were not protective, and 11% were partially immunized. That's it. In Los Angeles the same year, only 8 cases were among the unvaccinated. So 92% of the people who are coming down with the condition had been fully vaccinated. And viruses are being shown in vaccine resistance. In fact, in a 2012 Australian study from the University of New South Wales School of Biomolecular Sciences identified a new pertussis genotype immune to all vaccines on the market. And where did they find it? It's now in Finland, France, Japan, and the Netherlands. Never had it before. They believe it's from the vaccine. The vaccine's this. So, and also the vaccines did not eradicate the polio, and they would use that. In point of fact, a study from the International Medical Council on Vaccinations 2011, the polio vaccine, polio has been known now to morph into what they call acute flaccid paralysis, identical. They just changed the name of the vaccine. They changed the name of the condition to take credit for it being eliminated. Hasn't at all. So that's what some. I would have had 300 documents, 300 pages of information, a disc made that could go to any television producer, radio producer, and one that I would have seen that every member, I would have gone up just as I did in Albany. I'd have gotten some activists from the audience and gotten them to go up to the state capitol to march there with you and then say, look at this documentation, look at this research before you pass this into law, because this is showing you that what you're telling people should be mandated is not science. It's science fiction. Your final thoughts on this, Bonnie?
Well, you know, Gary, with the epidemic of autoimmune diseases, you have to wonder about all of these vaccines pumping up the immune system, because the immune system isn't supposed to be reacting all the time. So I have a big question about a lot of the illness that is autoimmune induced. But, you know, Gary, I would love to have you on the show, and I think I really want to plan a couple of shows with you and go ahead and do it.
That's fine. Just remember, we wouldn't be having this conversation if Free Speech Radio had, at the very least, invited someone on to debate me. I love to debate people, especially people who think they know everything, especially pro-industry people, especially the fake news that we're getting from those that support vaccines. That, you know, isn't it amazing? There's no controversy and there's no discussion about one person privatizing an asset, Democracy Now, and profiting by about $72 to $78 million and putting us now $3 million in debt to that person. That's not controversial. That doesn't get time for discussion. That doesn't make it on anyone's should we talk about this. But me sharing information that challenges orthodox science and fake news and fake science and science for hire, that is considered too tough a topic, too controversial a topic. And that's just deplorable. So from now on, when we think of fake news, think of Pacifica's KPFA and banning free speech. Tie the list. If you want a new form of medical McCarthyism, they would support it. And by the way, there's an article up on my site called Medical McCarthyism about Stephen Barrett. Someone, I don't know who it is, but a group of people took all of Barrett's statements and my statements, and they looked at my statements on fluoride, on mercury and vaccines, on sugar, and they took his, attacking those, found he wasn't right once, and I'm right on everyone. They used 67 pages of hundreds of scientific references to make the point, saying that he has his opinion, but it's not based upon fact. So why don't people do their homework before they trust a rag, a despicable organization representing this bias out there, instead of looking for the truth, they're supporting fake news. Bonnie, thank you for being a real person, a real journalist, and shame on Pacifica. Well, there's no shame there. They've destroyed themselves. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Gary.